Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
A comptroller is under the CFO. It's a numbers person, a finance person, one of the tops in a business. That person is out. MPS wouldn't say it, but Alfredo Balmaceda, he's the guy. He tells TMJ4 News he was fired.
From yesterday to today, I'm so relieved.
That's his response. Thank you for whacking me.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Honoring the day that changed history and saved the world 80 years ago today, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, occupied by Nazis at the time. And right now, hundreds are on hand for a special ceremony.
80 years ago today, D-Day.
On beaches called Utah and Omaha, and Sword and Gold and Juno, they come ashore.
The biggest air, sea, and land invasion in history. President Biden and other world leaders paying tribute to the 4,400 Allied soldiers who died in Normandy that day, joined by a few living veterans who were there. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
So right now, on the beach of Normandy, President Biden speaking.
Standing strong with Ukraine. We will not walk away.
The president mentioning Ukraine, of course, with the situation there. We should point out that France,
Ukraine will be subjugated.
France did not invite Russia, an allied force in World War II, to be part of the festivities today. President Emmanuel Macron spoke earlier during this ceremony. Earlier today,
and I'll stand beside you as long as
Tom Jones
I can.
Singing at a British memorial.
I will hold back the evening.
Let us pray such sacrifice need never be made again. But and let us commit to carrying forward their resounding message.
If you fall,
don't think you can downplay the significance of that day 80 years ago. You really can. They saved the world. They really did. And that it cannot be forgotten, and it's great to see what's taking place right now on the beach of Normandy.
And a question I don't like to ask because I don't think I like my answer is, do we have that in us again? Right now, if need be, do we have that in us again? As Americans or as members of the free world anywhere, do we have that in us again?
Well, I know that some of those who do are still alive because they're sitting on the beach right now and being honored today.
And we thank the American and allied veterans who have rallied once more on the shores of Normandy.
To my hand, touch me.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
It's kind of a dud.
Contreras will be off with the pitch. And it's a called third strike. Sinker cut the low inside corner. Adames strikes out looking. And the Phillies will sweep the Brewers.
That sums up the week.
Yeah, kind of.
So Adames strikes out to end the series. Brewers get swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, the pitching held up. Aaron Ashby, first start of the year, gives up two hits, one of them a two-run home run, but otherwise did very well on the mound. So did the rest of the staff. It was just the offense that just didn't show up.
Grindle kept talking about his velocity was higher than they'd seen him in spring, even post-surgery. So definitely some great signs there.
Yep. The final score, 2-0 Wednesday afternoon. So every game in this series against one of the best teams in baseball, against their ridiculous staff, by the way, the three best pitchers the Phillies have, every game was close.
Could have gone either way. Skipper Pat Murphy says, hey, can learn from a series like this.
Taking these three on the chin, they could have won. Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Up next for the crew, a series in Detroit that starts tomorrow. Concerning moments, by the way, Wednesday afternoon, a deadly tornado rolled through Michigan. We'll have to check in and see how the crew, when they came in there, if they noticed some of that coming through. GM Matt Arnold joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Packers set to wrap up OTAs in Green Bay today. Packers quarterback Jordan Love asked earlier this spring, so if you don't get a new long-term deal with the Packers before the start of training camp, would you consider holding out? Love really didn't go there, but ESPN's Adam Schefter doesn't believe it's going to come down to that anyway.
Okay, so if they don't get it done the first day of training camp, does it matter if they do it by the second or the third day really that much? No. Look, here's the deal. Jordan Love would like to do the deal. The Packers would like to do the deal. And I think we all could agree that they want to get it done sooner rather than later. Ideally in the next month before people go on their vacations. And then, if not then right away, right when you get back to training camp.
Yeah, Schefter, a guest on ESPN Milwaukee's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And the Milwaukee Admirals up against it. Got to win tonight. They're down 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals to Coachella Valley. Puck drops at 7 p.m. at UWM Panther Arena. At 7:23 on this Thursday morning. So, Eric, here's how the news conference from the Milwaukee Public School Board ended on Wednesday.
Several of you guys have said that you did not know about these financials. There are documents from 2020.
Is that our colleague Julia Fellow in there, I think?
I don't know if Julia, you heard TMJ4's Jenna Ray in there as well, a bunch of other reporters who lost their minds at that point when officials wrapped up this quote-unquote news conference, having taken just two questions. There are a couple of statements, two questions, out. As MPS is trying to dig out of this mess that threatens federal and state funding for Wisconsin's largest school district. The board held that news conference. It actually was about a day and a half. I mean, it was early morning hours of Tuesday when the superintendent had resigned. So here it is, just the day after. Here's how the news conference began.
Good afternoon. My name is Marva Herndon, president of the Milwaukee Board of School Directors.
And prior to this week, virtually no one knew who I was.
And I wish that was still the case.
Still the case. So she went up and read a statement. Gilly Gokul Gandhi, who is the vice president of the board, also read a statement and took a couple of questions. Board president basically got up there and says, we're working on it. Now, there was some information in that news conference, so I'll bullet point that for you so we do more than just the shouting here. District this week did submit financial data to the State Department of Public Instruction, a full draft expected to be submitted by the end of the week, and then that'll be followed by a review and additional data as they work with DPI.
Why couldn't that have been done at any time?
Yes, why?
Okay, all right, fine.
So progress there at least, and as to the immediate question of realistically, is the state going to withhold millions and millions of dollars in funding for MPS that would put this coming school year in jeopardy? It looks like closer to no, that's not the case.
State wouldn't do that.
So next, they'll review candidates for interim superintendent. They plan to do that next week. And then once they have an interim, they're going to do a national search, an intergalactic search for the long-term super. Also, the comptroller, who is a comptroller, is under the CFO. It's a numbers person, a finance person, one of the tops in a business. That person is out. MPS wouldn't say it, but Alfredo Balmasada, he's the guy. He tells TMJ4 News he was fired.
From yesterday to today, I'm so relieved.
That's his response. Thank you for whacking me.
That doesn't make any sense.
He's glad to be out. Now, he'd been in the job for only about a year. And you're going to hear him here, and then TMJ4's Marion McCarr after detailing the deep mess that all of MPS financials are in.
The organization that was put in place when the system was implemented was basically not good for accounting.
Documents obtained by TMJ4 show that in 2022, auditors were having the same issues, saying the district was deficient in preparing financial statements, budgeting state and federal money, and adjusting entries in the budget.
So reporters were asking about the district's chief financial officer. Is she going to be fired? You had another question.
Well, what did they send them this week? They just sent them something. Okay, here's some finance.
Is that in a filing cabinet somewhere?
And who put it together?
What about the board? TMJ4 has documents suggesting the board knew for years that things were this bad of a mess, failed to resolve all the issues. Well, so a lot of questions, right? After less than 8 minutes in all.
Thank you very much. We're going to have another update on Friday afternoon.
Some of you guys have said that you did not know about these financials.
So the shouting went on. No more questions taken. I told you the first question I had was why?
Yeah.
Why was this withheld from state officials? Much like the question you just asked. Is it rank incompetence or is there something to hide? School board president said, we don't exactly know.
People have asked why. And how we've experienced these issues. I can tell you we're investigating and we will provide updates as soon as we're able to do so.
So we don't know.
Come on. Come on.
Other issue that's come up. People have texted us here with this question. What about the referendum? Voters feel duped. The board superintendent, board members, president, and who all knew what when, you know, as the district was making an appeal to voters for another $250 million in annual funding. The question was asked whether the board would consider undoing that in any way, a rebate, a redo. Here's board VP Gilly Gokul Gandhi.
So the referendum is a separate question. The district is still in need of those resources to fill what we would be in, which is dire financial straits, right? And so that's a completely different thing. Right now, we're hyper-focused on providing these documents to DPI.
So don't expect that to change. If you're waiting for a discount, if you feel like you're a Milwaukee voter and I wouldn't have voted that way with this, they're not going to undo that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Right. But her reaction shouldn't surprise anybody.
Board also said they expect to take additional action on the budget for the 2024-25 school year next week. Meanwhile, until tomorrow, when MPS is promising another update, it's all over but the shouting.
We realize there are a lot of questions right now. And we're happy to provide information today.
Several of you guys have said that you did not know about these financials or documents.
Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold, our guest on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Here on the coast of Normandy, the battle between freedom and tyranny would be joined.
President Biden among the 25 world leaders taking part in ceremonies that mark the D-Day invasion of Normandy. 80 years ago today, a special ceremony just wrapped up moments ago. Now, one world leader whose country fought with the Allies to defeat Nazi Germany is not on hand. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
President Zelensky is here. Vladimir Putin is not here. He has not been invited, hasn't been invited for years. So, yes, there is a very real and growing threat. The same kind of threat when you have a global leader pushing into areas that would threaten Europe.
Actually, President Biden did mention Ukraine and Russia during his speech. Of course, many veterans on hand as well, believe it or not. And one local D-Day veteran is remembering the terror on that beach 80 years ago.
June 6th, it was very bad.
Floyd Sorensen was an 18-year-old Navy medic on D-Day, June 6th, 1944. He remembers it like it was yesterday.
It was noisy. It was smelly. The water was very, very rough.
Men died in his arms.
They were hurt in some cases so badly that there wasn't much you could do for them outside of giving them morphine or something to ease the pain.
He tells me one thing allowed him to survive.
If you never prayed before in your life, you're going to pray then.
John Merkier, WTMJ News.
Imagine being that medic, too. Like, where do you start?
Right, yeah.
Where do you start?
Yeah.
I guess whoever's closest to you.
Literally piling
up. Move on to
up.
Next. Yeah. We will continue to monitor those remembrance ceremonies. It feels like things have wrapped up there now in Europe and there are other things ahead for the day. You said a state dinner tonight as well,
yeah,
in France.
Yeah, French president is honoring and having a state dinner with the Bidens tonight.
This report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Coming up at 8:10 this morning, we'll have WTMJ's Sandy Maxson to break down the penultimate episode of Top Chef Wisconsin.
Wow, what a run it's been.
Penultimate, triple word score for me on that
one.
There
you go.
Means the second to last, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're in Wisconsin anymore after this, right?
Yeah,
they kind of take it back for the last episode.
Last night was it, I believe.
We'll find out what things happened in and around Milwaukee. You're also going to hear from Paul Bartolotta. That's a big restaurant name in this town. And, you know, he was a guest judge, Paul was, on this episode. And he talks a little bit about his relationship with Chef Dan Jacobs, who is a finalist or among those here and one of the chef testants.
Mm-hmm. Restaurante has been in the same location for 30 years. Anytime you can have a restaurant around for that long, you know, there's a reason for it. You feel the love in that space. It's a special place.
So a little bit more from Paul Bartolotta coming up at 8:10 with WTMJ's Sandy Max. And I don't know, I guess, what about spoilers? Are there people who haven't watched the episode yet? That
oh, whether or not
if,
he packed his
if
knives.
If Chef Dan is still in the running. I won't do it now. We'll debate whether or not we'll tell you at 8:10. 7:44, Brewers GM Matt Arnold, our guest on Brewers 360 next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Tough team. The Philadelphia Phillies are a tough, tough team. They sweep the Brewers out of Philly. 2-0 was the final. Although the skipper, Pat Murphy, still likes what he saw from his crew.
It's a fun thing sitting in my seat when you know you just lost three close ones, but you still really like your team.
Brewers off today. They're in Detroit starting tomorrow.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive.
I'm not Matt.
What up, Matt?
Hi, I'm Matt.
Brewers Senior Vice President and General Manager Matt Arnold on the line with us this morning. Morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Matt, are we in contact with the team? Due to fly in, I believe, yesterday into Detroit, and they had some severe weather there. A couple of tornado touchdowns in the suburban area. Is everyone accounted for?
As far as I know, yeah, I've talked to a handful of guys and everybody's good to go.
Tough when you have an off day in an away city, isn't it? Like, what do the guys do today? Do they get to work out or how does that day go?
Golf,
for right?
Yeah, it kind of depends on where you are. I mean, some guys will actually go into the ballpark and maybe do some work. They can take some infield if they want to, if they want to hit underneath in the cages. A lot of times guys just need rest. You know, it's a really long season and these guys are working so hard. And so, yeah, maybe it is a golf day out on the golf course or frankly, just hanging out with your family sometimes. So kind of just depends on where you are with your progression.
So the crew just runs into a buzzsaw with those three pitchers the Phillies have, those guys are really good. Obviously those pitchers, that team is really good. Do you study that? Do you take that into account thinking, okay, obviously there's a whole season yet ahead. There's a long way to go, but if we see these guys again or when that might be, who do we get or how do we go about attacking those pitchers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big part of what we do with our preparation, frankly, for every series. And certainly when you've seen those guys at least once during the regular season, it can certainly give you an advantage in the playoffs later because you have an idea what their stuff looks like. I think the whole league knows what those guys look like, and they're still obviously performing really well. But certainly I do think it's a really good learning lesson for our team, for sure, if we see them again.
Matt, I saw you last week. Brewers owner Mark Attanasio was in town, and a number of us had an opportunity to sit and chat with you and with him. I don't know if I did you any favors there, but I did ask our owner, hey, what if Matt had another $100 million to play with every year? And even at that, you still wouldn't be at the payroll of the Phillies. Did I make you uncomfortable when I asked him that, or did I help you out there?
No, look, I think, you know, we understand where we are as a market, you know, I get it. You know, nobody's going to make excuses for where we are. And frankly, I believe that we do have the appropriate resources to compete here. I think we have for a lot of years. You know, I think our ownership has supported us great for a long time here. And we're not putting out the lowest payroll in the league, even though we're the smallest market in the league, you know. And so that's a credit to our ownership. And I do feel like we have plenty of support here. Obviously, it would always be great to have a few more bucks to work with, but I do think we have plenty of support here to win.
He did say, Matt, credit to Attanasio, you did say that, look, if you have somebody that you want to go after, there's room to have that conversation here coming up against a trade deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's always been super supportive in that vein as well.
Aaron Ashby going to stick around for a bit?
Yeah, look, we're still talking about it. I mean, look, he did a fantastic job. I mean, as you guys know, right now we have a situation where we kind of need all hands on deck. Yeah. But Ash has been fantastic. I mean, just the way he threw the ball yesterday, I couldn't be more proud of this guy. I mean, he's come so far with his shoulder injury and his stuff. You saw earlier in the season to now has come so far, and he did a great job yesterday against a really tough Phillies lineup.
Brewers Senior VP and General Manager Matt Arnold with us this morning. Thanks, Matt. We'll catch up again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
Idea Man.
Who wants to spell spondee?
I'm going to try it.
Innovative.
S-P-O-N-D-E-E with one of those little deals on the top of it. Spondee.
Right. And Packers Hall of Famer.
Let's see if that's accurate.
Spondee. S-P-O-N-D-E-E. Spondee.
That is correct.
Very good.
Let's go.
Yes. You and Aiden.
Let's go.
Page.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Tausch, I know a lot of talk on your show and amongst Packer fans is what to do with Jordan Love. He's got a year left on his contract right now, that extension that he signed, so he got more, but he's due for a big payday. Does the deal get done before training camp? Or, as was suggested, perhaps did Jordan Love roll the dice and say, I'll play out this year and I'll be awesome, and then I'll take even more a big deal at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky part, I think, from both sides of it, but to your first question, yes, I do think it gets done. I think, you know, Brian Gutekunst has said that both sides want to get it done. And, you know, the risky part for Jordan is, you know, you're playing on an $11 million a year deal this year, and you're having the opportunity to get $150 or $160 million in guarantees. So the Packers, I'm sure, will kind of utilize that little chip. And you know, all of these negotiations, it comes down to how much risk are you willing to take. And I think for Jordan Love, he wants to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers for a long time. You know, there's the building the team and everything else, but everybody wants to get their maximum value. And what Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager for the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins, he works for ESPN now, kind of came on. And yesterday, I think, you know, Wilde and I, for the most of this offseason, have looked at it and thought, Jordan Love's going to sign something, you know, $50 million, and then Jared Goff signs for $53 million. Every time a new quarterback signs, there's going to be more pressure to make more and more money. So I would hope that from the Packers' standpoint, they look at it and say, we believe in Jordan Love. We think he is our guy. If you can get him in that, you know, $54, $55 million a year, a little bit more than Jared Goff, maybe not as much as what Joe Burrow is making, I think the Packers would look at that as a win. And I think Jordan Love's team can look at it and say, well, we're getting $160 million, you know, guaranteed, and getting $54, $55 million a year. And if he keeps playing well, you know you're going to get more and more bites at the apple. So that's kind of what this whole thing is coming down to. But the deadlines in the NFL, you don't want to be putting a ton of extra risk. Training camp starts the 22nd of July. Obviously, they're heading out to Brazil. So those are the two big dates. I don't think that there'll be any consternation, and I think at some point things will get closer and closer, and once that deadline comes, that's when I think the numbers really start moving and hopefully something gets done.
See, Eric Big Talker in here, Tausch, is saying that he'd roll the dice and he wouldn't take the giant contract now because he thinks that he's going to score at the...
I'm just saying, Tausch,
I'm signing whatever they put in front of you.
We've
now
seen it before. Ego is a tricky thing, and I Jordan Love seems like a very fine young man, so I'm sure he's going to make the right decision for himself. But ego sometimes leads someone to want a little bit more money.
Well, I think you know, everybody always wants to get the most money that they can.
Sure.
And you know, NFL players, doesn't matter if you're a radio host or whatever, that always is the case. But I think it's super easy for Eric or for me or for Vinny, any of us, to sit here and say, well, you should get $62 million a year. And at some point, the Packers are going to say, well, no, we're just not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, the idea of, well, maybe all that's going to go away, or injury can come into play. All of those things are always going to be factors as well. And then there's the, you know, Jordan Love has played, you know, he started 17 games last year, playoff games and then everything else. So there's the also, how much more does he have to prove? The Packers can utilize that chip against him too. So I think it's always easy when it's not you in that hot seat to make that decision and say, I want to get as much money as I can, but you also have to look at things in the big picture and understand what the timing of the deal is. And that's going to be the fun part to see how it shakes out.
That's funny, Taj, because Eric's got a meeting with the boss this week, and I was talking him up. I'm like, you go in there and you tell him this, and you tell him, here's how it's going to be. I'm real good like that. And then I sit in the chair, and I'm, okay, yeah, we're good. Yeah. Yeah. Companies, yeah, absolutely. Okay,
you
boss.
Know what you find? It's always a lot easier sitting on the outside looking in than when you're actually in the fire. But you want to be in that fire because that's where you get stuff done.
I got great advice. 7:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.